This week's mailbag comes to us from Maggie. Dear Lisa and team, I like to buy my planners in groups of two or three, but my last one ran out in April. I purchased a naked organizing planner from Organize 365. I think it was the undated one, but I just can't seem to get into it, so I ordered the summer one today. I don't know if there was an automatic email reminding me to buy this or not, or if I just missed it. I'll need to set a reminder to purchase the fall one as soon as it's available. But yesterday, I pulled out the 2019 and 2020 planners, where I have kept my notes on comparing my medical plan with my husband's and decided which one the kids should be on and why. This year, I made that his chore, but he was floundering. So I handed him my analysis, and I've hoped for the best. I am wary from making all of these plans and executing them in this house. Lisa, I cannot live without these planners. I might be able to do the day-to-day, but the notes that they keep for me are so very, very important. Oh, P.S. Tell Abby congrats. I love how enthusiastic you are about this new stage of life for you. I have lived off of your optimism during this entire pandemic.
Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Happy August. I don't know about you, but August is the month where I spend the most time planning and thinking about what I'm going to do for the school year. So I definitely have a different way I look at time, a different way I look at calendars, a different way that I look at planning. And most people would say, when you say like, when is the beginning of the year? Obviously, January is the beginning of the calendar year. But for me, in July, I really mull over what my past year was like, what new things I want to learn and do, how I'm going to grow in my business, what I want to focus on in the next year in my parenting, in my marriage. You know, the week that we spend at the beach, the last week in July, I do a lot of reflection. Greg and I do a lot of walks on the beach and talking, and I just kind of think and marinate the entire month of July. It's when I go back through the little bit of journaling that I do. I don't do a lot of journaling, but I will go back through any journaling that I've done. I'll look at planners from the past year. I'll look through my calendar a lot and see how I spent my time. And then in August, I start to make the plan for how I will spend the next 10 months. So July is a reflection. And then in August, I really put into place my September through June plan. Now, you probably have heard in podcast episode 123, I talk about how I plan three mini years. So in August, I plan for September through December, what I call my school year. In December, I plan for the new year, which is January through May. And then in May, I plan for summer, which is June, July, and August. And I do. There are those three trimesters of time that I basically run my schedule and my life from. But when I do this planning in August, which really is the entire month of July and beginning of August, I have a little bit bigger of a plan for September through May. There's usually a theme that develops. Definitely in my business, I can run about 10 months, and then it is the month of July and August that I recalibrate our business and set a plan for September through the end of June. And so I find myself looking at back to school time and school supplies, even though I don't have school kids anymore, as a time where I'm resetting my priorities, my intentions, and my goals for the next 10 months, a lot more than I do in January. So when I was thinking about what I want to talk to you about in August, I thought, you know, there are a couple of themes that I would like to orient you to if you are listening to this real time. And again, I'm going to go all the way back to episode well, just a few episodes ago. Let's start with that one, 426. This idea that we uncovered in our research that there are four different kinds of housework, and the third kind of housework is organizing. And while organizing is completely optional, organization is an investment of time today for a potential increased amount of time in the future. And we have shown time and time again that when you get a Sunday basket and you set up the Sunday basket system, even if you don't buy the official Sunday basket, you start to notice that you have more time during the week. That simple act of going through all the things that come at you from your email, from your mail, from your physical mail, from people requesting you to do things, from things you run out from during the week. If you can defer those activities to a singular time each week, doesn't have to be Sunday. Sunday works for me. It could be a different day of the week. But the same day each week, roughly 60 to 90 minutes once you get the system going, that you will feel like and you will actually notice that you have an extra 5 hours every single week. I mean, 5 hours, that's a lot of time. If you invest 90 minutes on Sunday, you get 5 hours Monday through Friday. Who wouldn't take that trade every day and twice on Sunday? Like, that is a really good return on your investment in time. And it's not just the physical time that you get back. I know you get the physical time back. It's the way that feels. Like, to have that amount of time back in your life, I'm not saying that you just sit around and read books and eat bonbons 5 hours a week because you did your Sunday basket on Sunday. But you, if you've experienced this, you know, you have more capacity. You have more bandwidth. You have more grace, less stress, less anxiety. You have more ability to go with the ebbs and flows of life, and you don't have everything scheduled down to the minute anymore after you've been doing the Sunday basket for a while. And that is when most of us, myself included, first have this realization, this true feeling of, oh my goodness, if I invest time on Sunday, I will get time Monday through Friday. It does not take long for this to happen. 4 to 6 weeks is the average for most people to get that Sunday basket as a habit, long enough for your brain to believe you that you're actually not going to put it aside and completely forget it, that you're going to put it aside and tackle it and batch it once a week. So your brain will let that go. It starts to let the details go. And what you actually get back is your brain. Like, you're able to think again. Your brain is not so used to trying to remind you to get the milk, make the haircut appointment, don't forget the dog's out of food, that you start to be able to think about, what do I want to do with my life? And it happens pretty quickly. So that was episode 426. The second time I really talked about this idea of establishing the Sunday basket habit and how it goes even further, how you could take that those 5 hours that you've gained from the Sunday basket and start investing that time in other things to get more future time, would have been in episode 366, which is called Organizational Math. Now, you know I used to be a math teacher, so if I can tie it back to math, I'm going to. Oh, wait. This fall, we're going to learn about algebra. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Don't worry about it. So in episode 366, I talked about the basic four operations of math and how you go through the same mathematical process that you do in grade school in your organizing. The first one is you learn to add. The first thing is you add habits, and the adding habit that you do is the Sunday basket. The Sunday basket is the habit that you add that gives you more time. With that time, you then move on to subtraction, and in subtraction, you declutter. And we have the 100-day home organization program that walks you through, in the first round, decluttering all the spaces in your home. The 100-day home organization program is a lifetime membership. It's done 3 times a year. This fall will be the 18th round that we've done. So some people literally have been in this 18 times. They don't do all 100 days, all 18 times, but it's lifetime membership. Once you make your purchase, you're in, and you can do it as many times as you want. And the first time you go through the program, usually you spend the majority of your time just decluttering, just getting rid of the stuff that you don't need. That's what I did. That's what most people do. So you subtract. You start to declutter items in your life. Now, subsequent rounds, you're going to start adding in increasing organization and organizing, and then increasing productivity. So step one, You add by adding the habit of doing a Sunday basket. Then you subtract items from your house, decluttering in your first round of the 100-day program. Then you move on to multiplication. And multiplication is where you start to take this time that you're starting to get from all of this time that you're investing, and you start to multiply it. So the time that you gain from the Sunday basket, you pour into the 100-day program, which then gives you more time that then you start to pour into a workbox or something else that you want to do. And you start to realize that time is not necessarily the same 24 hours for everyone. I mean, yes, we all have the same 24 hours a day, but we're clearly not all using it the same way because some people get a lot more done than other people do. Now, there's capacity, like what is your capacity to do things? How many spoons do you have as far as your physical well-being in order to invest and get more time back? But personally, I've really been challenging all of the different misconceptions I've had about everything. And with that comes time. I know in preparation for the book tour, which I'm actually on right now, I'm recording this podcast in a hotel room. I remember this spring thinking, okay, if you're going to do a book tour and if you're going to go on the road for, you know, 4 weeks straight, you are going to have to increase your capacity because you're going to have events at night. And I typically am not very good at events at night. And my goal was to get on morning news and talk shows. Well, that means you're up really early. How am I going to have the energy and motivation and stamina I need for an entire day? So I started practicing. I started practicing in February, March, and April. Some mornings getting up really early. Like if I woke up at 4 or 5, I just got up, I got ready, I got dressed. I was in the office sometimes at 4:30 or 5:30 in the morning. I powered through my entire day until 3 or 4, sometimes 5 or 6 at night. Came home, I was like, okay, what do I need to do now in order to put in another full day at the office without taking time off? And that's when I realized that if on those days I did an Epsom salt bath, I was better the next day. If I didn't, I was really achy and tired and I would get a migraine. I've eliminated a lot of my migraines. I also found there were certain foods that fueled me and certain foods like carbs that deplete me. And so now whenever I'm hungry, I just eat a protein bar that I know works well with my body and will give me the energy I need. And I also realized that if I have a bunch of back-to-back days like that, and I just take a 20 or 40 minute nap between noon and 3, that I can go further faster. And now I'm 2 weeks into my book tour and I have not had a migraine or crashed the entire time, but every day I've given myself a rest time and every single night I've taken an Epsom salt bath. So this multiplication of your time, this increase in stamina, like what are you, if I were to give you 2 hours a day more every single day, what would you use with it? Part of understanding how to invest your time today to get more time tomorrow is knowing what you would use the more time tomorrow for. Like if you're really clear on what you want more time for, then you're more willing to make a time investment today in order to get that more time. And then the fourth operation of math for your productivity is division, which is now with this new time that you have, because you are organized and you have these routines and you have your brain back, you can divide this time into fewer roles with more focus. I actually do less now than I did 10 years ago when I started on this organizing path, but the things that I do now, I do at a deeper and more focused level. So podcasting, when I started podcasting, I did one podcast episode a week and I was recording one every week as I put them out. Now you know that we have anywhere from 4 to 5 episodes a week, and I'm usually 6 weeks recorded out. So I am spending less time, more focused time in podcasting. I could travel now. Organize 365 is getting bigger. Our family is more harmonious and happier than it's ever been. I'm super excited to become a grandmother and spend more time at home with the baby and with Abby. And Abby and I are already spending a lot more time together just in preparation for that. So I have seen in my own life over the last 10 years how I went from, in the book, organization is a learnable skill, overweight, depressed, stressed out, my house was a wreck, to I feel a very focused, well-rested, well-balanced woman who's living out what I was uniquely created to do. It's not something that happens immediately, and it's not something that happens in a month or two. each of these activities that you do, which are a purposeful investment of time today, to move from a reactive life into a proactive life, start to compound together, and the life I have today is something that is completely different than the life I had 10 years ago, in the best way possible and in the most purposeful, planned way. So the last podcast episode about time I want to call you to is a much older podcast. It's episode 269, and it is the relationship between time, money, and motivation. And I call it the trifecta. And I remember when I realized this, it was 200, maybe 3 years ago. It was quite a long time ago. For so long in my life, personally, this yin and yang between time and money has really gotten me stuck and held me back. Specifically because I would always prioritize money over time. So if something was either going to take my time or cost money, I would invest my time because I didn't have enough money. And so if it was, you know, the couponing game, I would spend like hours a week back in 2010, 2011, like cutting out coupons and creating what my map of the store was going to be, going to four different stores in order to get whatever I needed on my grocery list to save $20. And we had to do that at that point. Like that was the right thing to do at that point in my life, was to prioritize money over time. But the older that I've gotten and the more purposeful I've gotten in how I use my time, I now prioritize time over money. And the easiest and simplest way to do that is like to hire help. And I've said that on podcasts in the past, you know, hire a housekeeper, hire an assistant. And I say it because it's true, like it works. It definitely works if you hire someone to help you with the things that are on your to-do list. It definitely will give you more time to do other things that are on your to-do list. But the things that you are often hiring out at that stage in the game don't make you any money and kind of give you time, but they don't give you all of the time that you think they're going to give you. And frankly, now having lived through COVID and becoming more aware of, you know, all the different families out there and the research that we've just done, when we asked people if they hired help in their home, people would say, yes, they hired help to do the maintenance tasks in their homes, but very few people are hiring help to do the cleaning tasks in their home. And I've said this before, I have a housekeeper, I've been a housekeeper. That's definitely where everybody's mind goes, is hiring housekeepers. It wasn't even an option last March, April, and May. Like, you couldn't have a housekeeper. We were all locked in our home because of COVID. So while hiring help is definitely something you can do to get you more time, it's a never-ending expense. You know what I mean? Like, so if you have somebody and you hire them to clean your house, well, yes, you get back that time for 2 weeks, but then you have to pay them again 2 weeks later to clean your house again and clean your house again and clean your house again. So it's not a permanent, I'm going to invest this money and I'm going to get this time back. It's a regular investment of money to get some time back. And frankly, very few people can afford to do it on a regular basis. I know in our life, we've gone back and forth from when we can afford to do it and when we can't afford to do it. And so I don't know if it's really a great example to give on the podcast as a general, like, here's how you should get more time, is just buy somebody else's time to do some of your household related tasks. If you could do that, you've already figured that out. If you can't, then what do you do? Okay, well, we're going to be teaching you how to do that as we, you know, continue to explore these four different kinds of housework and how we can really streamline and eliminate some of the tasks that we're doing that we don't need to do. That's why I'm always talking about, like, do you still iron things? I used to iron things all the time. I don't anymore. And really taking a look at everything that you do that you consider to be housework and ask yourself, is this necessary? Do I want to do it? Does somebody else in my house want it done? Can they do it? Or can we just let it go? I used to literally iron my bed sheets before I put them on my bed, because that's how my mom likes to have her bed. And yeah, I mean, it would be nice. Like when I go to a hotel, it's really a treat. But I don't want to invest that amount of my time in order to have that experience. I'm willing to sleep on unironed sheets. And that's a decision I've made, an investment where I am not going to invest that time and not have that experience. And I am okay with that. So this yin and yang between time and money, for me was really once I was able to hire a housekeeper to clean our house at first, you know, parting with that money every 2 weeks to have somebody vacuum your house, which is something you definitely can do in order for you to get time. I remember how that felt. Like, I couldn't believe I was paying somebody else to do something I knew I could do. Sometimes I didn't have a good use for that time investment. So I literally would be reading a book on the weekend going, oh, see, I had time. I could have done it. I could have saved the money because I didn't see the value in just having time to read a book because we had so little extra money in our family at that time and my self-care wasn't that much of a priority to invest that much money. And so I was having a hard time with, well, if you have the money, should you invest? If you have the time, should you invest it? What is this yin and yang? Because I valued money more than I valued time. And time is the thing you cannot get more of. And so now I kind of look at time and money and I think, is this the best use of my time? So total random thought here. I don't do many leisure activities. I read books, but I read books like I'm getting a college degree in this and there's going to be a quiz on it tomorrow. You know, like that is how I read books. I read books like I'm getting ready for a final exam. I will listen to podcasts all the time. Usually I listen to podcasts that are going to grow and develop me just because I'm such a learner and I truly enjoy it. And sometimes I feel like because I don't do things that are self-care related, that are me, you know, laying on a beach, getting a massage, reading a book, that the kind of self-care that I like is not worthy of self-care. Does that make any sense? So like, I like to read books about history or I like to be learning all the time. I don't really watch any kind of just, you know, non-educational TV. On this book tour, my days are filled all the time. If I'm not sleeping, I'm listening to a podcast, I'm listening to a book. I am rewatching Madam Secretary, and I do really enjoy that. But I'm usually doing that while I'm getting ready or while I'm doing laundry in the hotel. I'm walking my steps while I'm talking with the team in Cincinnati, and I'm always multitasking. And I've increased my capacity in the last 12 months or so to where I'm either sleeping or I'm being productive. And I'm really enjoying it. I feel guilty about it. Like, I feel guilty that I want to increase my capacity of knowledge all the time, and I don't really need to have a lot of downtime. So when we have this yin and yang thought about time and money, how we spend our time is so individual to us and our goals and our desires and our, like, what the kind of life that we want to be living. And I just want to say, it's all okay. Like, if you want to take your time, if you want to take your money and invest it in someone to clean your house, as I do, because you want more time, because you want to read a book about Europe, because you just want to learn more about history, totally fine. If you want to take your time and you want to clean your own house so that you have some extra money so that you can save it up so someday you can go to Europe, totally fine. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which way you do it. I just want you to be consciously doing it. And I think often our prior programming has us focusing on either time or money to the exclusion of the other, especially if it was related to a past condition in life. Like, Greg and I had no money when our kids were little and our kids had so many needs. And so we would prioritize our money over our time because they needed so much medical and educational intervention. And now we, you know, are blessed that we're later in life, so we have some disposable income. So how do we want to use that? And frankly, COVID's not going anywhere. I mean, it's going to ebb and flow. It's all over the world. And I mean, I'm not getting back to Italy next year. I just mentally, I'm like, you know, this is probably 5 years from now. I don't know. Maybe never. I don't know about international travel. I just don't know. So if that's what I was saving all my money for, then how can I have those travel experiences now, or what are Greg and I going to do for fun? Instead of trying to look at how I was spending my time and money before COVID or waiting for COVID to be over, I don't know when that's going to be. How am I going to reorient myself for time and money now? And then in that episode 269, I also talked about motivation. So that trifecta of time and money, once you can get your mind around, okay, time and money have equal value And that value will flip-flop depending on where you are in your phase of life and how much you have of either. There are seasons where you literally have no time. Like you are, you know, working full-time or you have two jobs and you have to use some of that money you're earning in order to buy time. And there are other times in your life where you have so much time you don't know what to do with, but you don't have a lot of income. And so that will determine whether time or money take priority. But there are many times and many seasons in life where the yin and yang is pretty much in balance and you get to choose. And I just want you to value your time as a physical thing as much you value money, because it is fleeting. We only have so many years. We only have so many Sundays per year, so many holidays, that time does start to go away. And then motivation, that's your energy level, really. And that is where, you know, I find just on this book tour, walking 10,000 steps a day, which I do not really do when I'm in Cincinnati, unless I'm preparing for Embrace and walking on my treadmill, I feel thinner. Like, and I have no idea what I weigh right now, but I know that I am hooking a different hook on my belt when I put on my jeans. So I feel leaner, I feel better. And when you feel leaner and you feel better and you feel healthier, you have more motivation for what you need to do. So I have to tell you how this podcast came to be. The entire team was in Cincinnati at the end of June. Oh my goodness, they were so excited to be together. It'd been 2 years since everyone had been together. And because Organize 365 is such a small growing company, like we add new team members and a lot of people had never met anyone in person. And so I have team members like Pat, who's been around 5 or 6 years. Amy's been with me since the very beginning. So she's been around, 9 years. And we were talking about, you know, the different products and we were talking about the 100-day program specifically. And we were talking about the fact that it is $497. And I said, well, you guys know why it's $497, right? And my entire team, who's been with me this entire time, they were like, we have no idea. So what do you mean you have no, do you think I just picked a number out of thin air? And they're like, yeah, we have no idea how you priced the 100-day program. And I was like, I've told this story so many times. And once I told it, a few of the people who'd been around for a long time were like, oh yes, we do remember you telling that story. You haven't told that story in probably 4 or 5 years. Most people probably have no idea where the pricing for the 100-day home organization program came from. So I'm going to share with you the story. Back in 2012, when I started Organize 365, I became an in-home professional organizer. So over the course of that first year in business, I was a blogger and I started organizing with people and I was charging, I think I started by charging $50 an hour. And by the end of my first year, I was charging $65 an hour. And by the time I was done organizing in 2014 or 15, I was charging $75 an hour to organize your home with a 5-hour minimum, and we always sent in 2 people. So it was $750 a day just for 5 hours for us to come organize your home, and many people would have us stay 6 or 7 hours. So, you know, you're looking at $900 to $1,050 for us to come in and organize your home. And when I started in 2012 by myself, I would organize a space 4 hours at $50 an hour for $200. And I would organize like a child's bedroom or your closet or whatever I could do in 4 hours. And by the time I started growing a team, which was only 12 months later, we were already increasing our rates and the amount of time we spent. So one organizer would come in for 5 hours for $300 and we would organize one space. And after doing this 2 years, I said to Carol, my lead organizer, I was like, oh my gosh, it would be so fun if we could do a whole house. And so we started organizing entire houses and we organized, you know, doctors and lawyers and business professionals and people who are moving in from out of state and people who are moving out. And we got to the point where we were like, they just need a flat rate. They just need a flat rate for how much it's going to cost us to organize their home. And we came up with $5,000 and we would get it done in 5 days. So we would start on Monday and we would be done on Friday and we would organize your entire house for $5,000. There were 3 different kinds of organization you could get for $5,000. We would organize your entire house, like all the living spaces, including your storage room. We would organize your paper. or we would do your photos. And photos was priced differently, and it usually cost way more than $5,000. My photo clients paid between $5,000 and $21,000 to get all of their photos and books. And that usually ended up being anywhere from 8 to 21 photo albums by the time we were done. So around that time, I think we're getting ready to start round 18 of the program, the 100-Day Home Organization Program. So we started that back in 2015. We were in the thick of organizing. We're getting ready to shut down our in-home professional organizing. I had three professional organizers. We were organizing whole homes for $5,000. I was doing the photos at home. We had paper organizers that didn't go into people's homes, and we bring them. I mean, like, it was like organizing everywhere in 2014 and 2015. So I took the time to create the 100-Day Home Organization Program after what we were doing when we went into people's homes Monday through Friday for $5,000, and we did all of the living spaces of their home. And the storage room, we would clean it up, but we wouldn't get it to the level of organization that you get in All Access in the 28 steps from Hot Mess Room to Organized Storage. That was a more detailed service that we offered. And so when I created the 100-Day Home Organization Program, I was like, all right, well, if you were going to do this on your own, if you were going to do your own house anywhere, you know, any size house, anywhere in the world, what are the steps and the questions I would ask you when I am in home with you, and what is the order I would do it? So we always started in the kitchen because that made the most difference. When homeowners would come home at the end of Monday, we would have their kitchen entirely done, and we would have all of our questions for them for their master closet for the next day, for their primary closet. And each morning and each night, we would meet with the homeowner in their house and ask them questions. Or when I went in and did the consultation before we came in, I would ask a series of questions so that we knew what to get rid of. And at the end of every day, there would be piles of homework. Like, we think all of this can go. Here's our suggestion on this. And we came back the next day, the homeowners would write us notes like, yes, this is good. No, keep this, do this, whatever. And we could organize kids' clothing closets. Like, kids' clothes aren't hard to organize. A lot of it is just taking all the sizes that are too small or too big out of the closets for them. Like, we really could organize your entire house without you being there. It's kind of odd, but we could do it. So once I created the 100-Day Home Organization Program, and I was like, here's how you would do it with me as your professional organizer, the order in which I would do it in case you ran out of time, money, or motivation to get the job done, but I know you would be living in a more organized house when you were done. I was like, here's the order. First, we do the kitchen, then we do the primary suite, then we go on to like, and we would go through the house in this order, leaving the storage room to be last, knowing that that was out of sight and out of mind. And you might come back for that a year or two later, and then we would go in and we would do your storage room. And I was like, how do you price this? Like, how do I price what I'm doing in person that is $5,000? Like, people are not going to buy a 100-day home organization program for $5,000. Also, you have to do the work. I'm not doing the work, so you shouldn't charge that much. But I was looking at everything else that was on the market that was offering, like, how to organize your house, your whole house. And I was like, well, they have holes in their program. Like, they don't go through the entire house. And they were like $47, $97. I was like, well, it's not worth my time to create a program like this, as robust as this is, as an educator, if it's going to be $97. Like, it's not worth it. It's almost like if sometimes you can underprice things and you don't recognize the value because there's not the value in the price. And so I was just like, 10%. Like, 10% of $5,000 is $500, and we'll make it $497. It's 10% of what it would cost for our team to come in 1 week and get your home organized. And we'll give you exactly the step-by-step how to do it in the order that we would do it. I'll ask you the same questions in the video I would ask you if I was sitting next to you. I'll do the mindset shifts that I was doing at home in the homes that I was organizing in. I will walk you through in the right order, and you will get the same transformation on your own. Now, it'll probably take you three times going through it, because even in the homes that we were organizing in Cincinnati, we would go back 6 months and 12 months later and do more decluttering and organizing, just because you can't go from disorganized to organized overnight. Like, your brain can't process it. We could take them 70% of the way there, whereas in the 100-day home organization program, you'll probably make it 30% of the way on your own the first round, another 30%, another 30%. But yeah, that's where it came from. If you've never heard the story, which apparently my team didn't remember, so you probably don't know it either, that's why it's $497. And then it was, I think, 18 months or possibly 2 years later when we came out with a planner. And the very first planner, if you guys ever got one, was only like 27, maybe 30 pages. It was not a lot. It was really a pilot to see, like, could I ship something physical? Would this even help you get through the 100-day program better? We found out it did. And that's when we went all in and I let Amy do her magic. And now it's over 100 pages. The planner that you get three times a year is over 100 pages. You get the first one with the 100-day home organization program so that you can go through and have everything that you need. And then if you're not a planner person or you don't need that kind of accountability or you don't need that in your Sunday basket to remind you and focus you, then you don't need it. It's really more like a planner and a workbook than it is a date book. And that's why people buy it three times a year and we keep adding new stuff to it. So welcome to my story down memory lane. I think that I've met so many of you on the book tour, which just warms my heart. Like, I'm just feeling every single hug that I've taken and had with you guys. And just hearing your story of how you first found Organize 365 and then how you became more engaged with the podcast or the products and ultimately how it has transformed your life and what you're doing with the time and money that you have now. Yes, the 100-day home organization program is an investment of money, and it's not an insignificant investment in money for a reason. The first reason is the program is worth way more than $97, so I'm not going to charge less than what it's worth. It's worth more than $497, but I feel that's a reasonable price to charge. And also, we don't value our time like we do money. And when you make that kind of an investment, now you could do it at a payment plan. We have a payment plan that's $96 a month. So you could do it a reasonable payment plan to get into the lifetime program. But you will put time on your calendar to do the 100-day program when you make that kind of investment. I remember talking to one of my friends. I even interviewed her on the podcast early after the 100-day program came out. And she said, well, if you lower the price, more people will do it. And she said, you know, like 80% or could be 90% of people who buy online courses don't do them anyway. So if you lower the cost, then more people will buy it and you'll make more money. And I said, no. She said, so if I would give you money today, you won't give me the program if I'm not going to do it. And I was like, correct. She's like, well, that's crazy. Like, you're leaving all this money on the table. And I said, I'm not trying to sell more programs. I am trying to create a vehicle through which people transform their lives and they get more time and money back so that they can do what they're uniquely created to do. I don't want your money. I want you to have more time and money so you can do what you're uniquely created to do. And if your house is already organized, you don't need the 100-day program. And if, you know, it's just not the way I'm doing business. I want people to wait and buy the Sunday basket. Usually you guys do it after you try it on my own. I mean, I know this. A lot of people on the book tour have said, Lisa, like, you give everything for the Sunday basket for free on the podcast and all these other things. Like, you literally don't have to buy the Sunday basket. I'm like, I know. They said, but when we buy the Sunday basket, there's even more in there than we realize. I said, I know. I'm not worried about it. Like, I just feel like if I do what I'm uniquely created to do, which is teach the skill of organization, what goes around comes around. Like, I'll be fine. My business will be fine. My employees will be fine because I'm doing the right thing for everyone at a decent price point so that everyone can learn the skill of organizing when they're ready with the tools that they have available to them. And I'm just not worried about it. I'm not going to underprice myself and I'm not going to overprice it. And I'm not going to worry about what other people are doing with their pricing because I have decided that the amount that I've invested in and the team that we're growing, this time and money ratio works for us. And so I encourage you to do the same. As you're looking at, it's so funny. We'll look at like strawberries. We'll be like, I'm not paying that price for strawberries. It's like 50 cents more than it was last week. But then we'll look at something totally different, which is a huge price point. And you're like, oh, that's good. That's a sale. And it's like something that's not even necessary, which is hundreds of dollars, but makes you feel good and you love it and you want it. And so you should buy it. We don't equate time and money evenly with all of the different things that we are doing. And this is the value of the transformation that you get in the Organize 365 products for the time and the money that's invested. So organization is an investment of time today that will give you more time in the future. And there is a financial component, like you will invest in the 100-day program, $500. You'll definitely earn $500 in what you're selling or giving away or being able to earn more money when you're done getting organized. Just like you'll probably invest in containers at Target when you're doing organizing, or you might invest in a paper retreat, or you might invest in a professional organizer, or you will make financial investments as you get organized, but you will make way more time investments in the process of getting organized than you do in money. And at the end, you will end up with multiplied time by the truckload. And you will also earn back any money that you invest in organizing, but you won't earn back exponential money. And we're so used to investing being a money in, exponential money out. Like that's how we look at investing. I want you to look at time in, exponential time out as the same or even more of a return on your investment as you do your money. So that's how to buy time, how you can invest more time today and get more time tomorrow.